Today's Transmissions podcast is brought to you by 80stees.com. 80stees.com has an incredible selection of Transformers shirts and hoodies, including some amazing Transformers costume hoodies. Transform into Grimlock, Megatron, or even Optimus Prime with the 80stees.com costume hoodies. Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the Transformers! Hello, everyone. This is Yoshi from Transmissions. Today's episode of Transmissions is going to be a little different than the shows we normally publish. Last weekend in Juneau, my good friend Bo and myself went out to see Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. When the film ended and we exited the cinema, I hit record on my phone just as we got into the car to talk about it. Now, let's be honest, everyone, it's me. The two of us brutally bashed this film for all that it's worth. And even though I think the two of us talking about this film as we drove home is enjoyable and very humorous, I want to put a word of warning out there for our listeners. If you're a fan of Michael Bay's reimagining of Transformers, or you're just a fan of Transformers 4, don't listen to this episode. Look, I'm a fan of films, and some of my favorite films of all time are hated by the mass majority of the movie-going public. If I like a film, I'll stay away from reviews or opinions of that film because I don't want my enjoyment or love for a film to be destroyed by someone who didn't like it. And I think that's what this episode is going to do. So that's my warning. If you've come this far, you're probably going to go all the way with me now. So grab a soda, pick up a bucket of popcorn, and sit back. We're about to start Transmissions. So I'm Yoshi, and this is Bo.
I'm Bo.
Bo paid for my movie ticket, because I wouldn't do it, and as a good friend, he did that for me, and I have to question our friendship now, because that movie was so fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's worth it.
You said it best. I've never been so bored by action.
Ever.
Ever. You know, when all that shit was rising up with the magnet field dropping, I just wanted it to crush Marky Mark and it cut to credits so I could leave.
Or the sissy boyfriend. He was really good at driving. That was his plus one skill.
Right.
His plot device.
But, you know, any time where he could show that he was a competent person to take care of his daughter, he failed. He just pussed out whenever that happened.
It was the most useful a human being has ever been. In the climax of this film, was Marky Mark kind of kicking motherfucking ass.
At the end?
At the end.
See, I had a problem with that, because here he's got a little freaking sword gun. And,
true.
You know, Optimus Prime wasn't able to do half that damage that Mark could do with a small little sword gun.
True.
That bothered me. That took me out of that scene.
I'm not justifying that. I'm just saying a human was actually useful for once.
Sure.
So
the way Galvatron and his minions would transform to... The little I know about 3D modeling and stuff, that seems like a really cheap gimmick that they did, and it would take less
energy
CPU, or whatever to process to actually render that on screen.
As someone who understands physics, I also wonder, how the fuck are those boxes moving against gravity? Like, they would be driving 60 miles an hour cars,
yeah.
Transform into smaller little boxes, and those boxes would magically float to a rooftop, stop, and then be a robot. The force acting on that mass instantly goes away. It floats and stops. It's awesome. robot magic.
You can just rip apart a film better than anybody I know. It worked in the first film the way Optimus Prime would scan another truck and become that truck, because we didn't see the magic behind it. But this one, we could see all the rust and stuff fall out. That bothered me. That seemed cheap. You know, and there was no way Marky Mark was able to repair him.
No.
No, I mean, that's horseshit.
Well, I think they threw a line in there to justify it, which was, he took a missile away from his core, and that saved Optimus.
smart Marky Mark with his glasses on. And then you've got
muscle jack athlete
Marky Mark with his glasses off. And I thought the cutest girl in the film was
the scientist at the beginning.
The Aussie scientist at the beginning.
I was hoping for her to get some Marky Mark action.
Yeah. I was disappointed that that didn't happen.
The weird bald scientist got more play
yeah.
from both hot chicks.
And it seemed like at the third act, like his character completely changed. He just became stupid. And
Marky Mark?
No, bald guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least he was destroying the previous Galvatrons and then suddenly stopped trying to destroy the previous generations. It's like, meh.
Well, no, he was ordered by the CIA to send him out against Prime.
Eh.
I mean, he had plenty of time after that to destroy him, but that's what he was ordered to do. And he felt very like they were pulling his personality from Steve Jobs things in the beginning, just the way he wasn't approving or demanding stuff. The
commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grimlock didn't show up till the very end of the, like, I'd say halfway through the third act, Grimlock. I turned to you and that was like, where is Grimlock?
Right.
Because I was just waiting for him. Because I was literally so bored of things blowing up, people running down buildings to get to the ground floor to run away, to then get into an elevator, to go to the rooftop to run away, to then drop down to the ground floor to run away.
There's a lot of argument about, you know, this needs to take place on another planet or Cybertron or in space. Like, get the human element out of it. And I think there are plenty of stories that could be told on Earth, but make the human element a side character or something. It doesn't need to be primary or even secondary. They could do so much on Earth. People are going to these films for the robots. They're not going for the people. And for whatever reason, DreamWorks or whoever's in charge feels like the people matter. And they don't.
Yeah.
You can try and make them matter, like in a movie like Pacific Rim. But still, you just want to see the giant right. robots fight the
humans say a couple things and the robots do the awesome things.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's the robots punching that's awesome. And even this, it wasn't awesome.
No. It was, I just die already. You know, credits. I'm ready to go home. It was boring action. You're absolutely right.
There literally wasn't a good fight scene in the whole movie. Maybe the end climactic fight scene was the best. But, I mean, there were 50 Decepticons against 10 Transformers at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they just destroyed 50 of them, and there was no way of counting. There was no, this one's hard, this one's not. Megatron just fucking skates away somehow.
Yeah.
Or, sorry.
Because he was there. His truck mode was there at the end, wasn't it? I thought I saw it next to the tow truck.
I'm not sure.
During the last battle scene. I thought I saw him there. I'm like, oh. So there's going to be another battle between Optimus and Megatron, but that didn't happen. Galvatron.
Yeah.
Fuck. And what this?
And he didn't turn into a big gun? Disappointed. Fire himself. And no Starscream. Oh, my God.
Oh, I think Starscream died in, like, 2.
Right. They just resurrected all the Decepticons.
Right.
They had a vagina face. No Starscream? I think Starscream over 10 vagina faces.
Let's talk about the couple of good things about the film, because it'll be easy to go back to the bad things. John Goodman's voice acting, I thought, was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I forget his name, forgive me, but the guy that does Bender, he was the green Autobot with the gun. I thought that was horrible. For a guy that's
going back to bad, I kept thinking they were really, really trying to make a gray, shadowy Autobot character.
Yeah.
And they were terrible at it.
They were terrible. And I don't blame the voice actor guy, because he's actually really good. I blame his lines and the role it was.
Yeah.
I might blame him for taking the job.
Yeah. You know what I wouldn't say no to?
What?
A couple $1 million.
Yeah. I wonder if they got that much, though.
I'm sure.
Voice act. So, and then there was Kelsey Grammer. I looked forward to every scene he was in, because he was just, he owned it. You don't have to agree with me, and I don't give a shit.
I would say he was good, but he was not dynamic. His character never changed, and his character was really boring and stale and could have been a great metaphor and wasn't. The cigar. We both hated the cigar at the beginning.
Yes.
And we both liked that they found a use for it.
Right. Hound, it actually served
a purpose.
A purpose.
In a moment during a fight scene that I actually knew what the fuck happened.
Yes.
Which was refreshing.
Yeah, you know, it was that. It was just a visual assault on my eyes. I couldn't tell what was going on. The plot was thin at best.
It did suffer from what was the worst about Transformers 2, which is during fight scenes, you have an object, you have to get object A to place B. photography in the film, eyes of viewer don't know where that object needs to go, and there's just explosions and people running. And then they change their mind about where they need to go, and that object needs to go there, and they still don't explain where they're going or why they're making what decision.
Right. The product placement was painfully
obvious. Oh, my God.
It was everywhere, and it was painfully obvious. I'm trying to remember from what I read about the news stuff, and I didn't pay very close attention, but China financed an aspect of this film, I believe. Hence, the Chinese-looking Autobot, and the third act taking place completely in China.
I thought he was more samurai, which would be
Japanese. Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong.
But they did go to mainland China.
Yeah.
And they at the end of the film, they released the Dinobots, and there's like, be free, dinosaurs in China.
Yeah.
I see no problems there. Their autocratic society will embrace dinosaur robots with open arms.
Yes. That'll go over real well. Thought the CG was good. I did think, again, like the way Galvatron and his minions transformed looked visually cheap and probably was literally a cheap thing to render, comparatively speaking. The opening of the movie pissed me off, because I even tweeted about that. It's like, you know, the movie's called Transformers, and we haven't seen them transform yet. We see them in one mode, then another, and it wasn't until the end of the first act we were actually seeing them transform again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fucking, it's in the title. They were very, very vague about the creator and what's going to happen, what's coming towards Earth, or what Optimus Prime is going off to stop.
Yeah, because in the movie, just they made it seem like Lockdown is a bounty hunter working for the creator.
Yes.
Which I'm hoping is V'ger, and that they go beyond the Great Barrier and destroy a god that needs a starship.
If I were to take a wild-ass guess, the creator is probably... I don't know who else it could be other than Unicron.
Unicron.
And that doesn't fit the mythos. That's completely fucksword. But, you know, this is supposed to be the start of a new trilogy, so the second movie is just going to be bleh. And then the third movie will probably be the reveal of Galvatron.
Optimus on his own, or the results of Optimus being on his own and then Earth being in peril again?
I don't know how they could make another film without it being on Earth. I mean, as I'm not one of them, but as much as the fans want an off-world Transformers, I don't see how that could possibly happen.
Not to mention, Optimus always gets his ass beat and needs everyone's help, so him going on his own never makes sense.
Right.
Unless you're Grimlock. He just beats the shit out of you. And become...
a robot that's like fucking, you know... Five times taller than he is. He just bitch smacks.
He just bitch smacks, yeah, and becomes the Dominator.
I did think the Triceratops guy, I'm going to get shit for not remembering his name. I thought he was actually kind of adorable the way he would get ready to attack something. He'd do like the cat.
I thought a lot of that times he was digging himself into the ground because of the gravity.
There was that too.
The Stegosaurus looked kind of stupid. He was like Spikosaurus.
Yeah. He did look stupid. And the double-headed pterodactyl. What the fuck was that about?
And the double-headed pterodactyl that was completely fucking worthless against other flying things, and the random stupid Decepticon. The Bumblebee ultimately took it out on his own. The pterodactyl just made more complicated and confusing.
Yeah.
So, pterodactyl, useless. Just like the P in pterodactyl. Also, none of the women had boobs. Unfortunate.
I was okay with that. It didn't really bother me. Because I still felt that I think she was Ozzy. The Ozzy archaeologist was hot.
She was hot. She was the hottest thing in the film, and she only had, what, five lines?
A bit part. Well, I guess it's not a bit part. I mean, they flew her all the way to China. And the Antarctica, supposedly.
Well, that's what pissed me off. They just said the Arctic, as if there's only one on Earth. There are two of them. Are we talking polar bear or penguin Arctic?
Right.
Unclear. Unclear Transformers, although I guess only one has a landmass that would support dinosaurs at some point, but that would be the Antarctic.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
America.
I do this for you. Galvatron just like grabbing a bar in a Decepticon factory and just transforming them into Decepticons was confusing as F. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
So
he was letting out mini-bots or something?
What he was doing, and the only reason this kind of worked for me is because I've seen it in the comics to an extent. But basically, you know, Optimus Prime has the Matrix of Leadership. Not in this. It's called the Cube or whatever. And the Cube is the life force that gives life to all. Now, I'm not sure.
Didn't he get the Matrix of Leadership in Transformers 2? Was that...
He had a shard of the Cube or something. It doesn't fucking matter. None of these Bay films actually work together. But, essentially... Megatron is implied that he has a creation matrix or cube or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And when he hit this bar that's connected to all the other Transformers that the humans built, he was able to impart a soul into them or give them life essence or whatever makes you comfortable. And that's what happened.
Do you know what made me uncomfortable?
What made you uncomfortable?
The seed. We need to get the seed.
There was a lot of dirty puns we had during that film.
The seed. Optimus has the seed.
How did he get it? Rectally?
Megatron wants the seed. Calvatron, seed.
It kind of felt like the script was written without going back to accommodate this stuff, you know?
I mean, at least the other shitty Transformers movies had the excuse that Michael Bay was being, like, really pushed by the studios to complete them before he had written the script.
Uh-huh.
This is just shit plot with explosions all over it, and there's no excuse that I know of. This is his dream job.
Yeah.
He probably had unlimited time, unlimited money, and this is the best he could come up with.
You and I were literally yawning a lot.
Especially during the end of the second act, beginning of the third act.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it was just... It could have been edited. I don't feel like I would have missed anything. You would have edited out human scenes, which I'm not interested in.
Anything that happens in China pre-Grimlock is boring as fuck.
Yeah.
And there are lots of explosions.
Yeah.
There are people killing people.
Yeah.
There are cars blowing up. There are even Decepticons dying. And I don't give a shit about any of it. It was so long. That movie was goddamn long.
That was a 3-hour piece of... It was a visual assault. I mean, it wasn't even enjoyable. It
reminded me of Fantasia with robots and boring. Didn't explain why he was a white, flat-nosed semi to begin with.
No, that wasn't explained. And if it was, we fucking missed it. You know, and a lot of people think that was just a fan service thing to make us G1 lovers... Be like, oh, that's what he would look like if they had done it the right way.
But, well, right. Well, flat nose, correct. But white, completely wrong. Isn't that...
Yeah.
What's his nerds?
Ultra Magnus?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had him as a kid, no big deal.
So I think we agree that what was wrong with this film was just about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I did like Optimus shooting himself into space and being like, later, guys, I'm going to find God. Especially with the level of nihilism I'd achieved prior.
It's like, you know, I think you could say it was implied in the first movie that he could do that, but he doesn't really use it until the very end of the third act of the fourth film. You know, right. I mean...
Well, and there's even in I don't know why I even remember Transformers 2, but there's a whole bit about him having to transform with another Transformer to get a jetpack to be able to fly.
Right!
Which, holy crap, I'm bringing up Transformers 2 a lot.
You are, and everybody hates that film, but you at least remember it for whatever reason. I dumped that part of my brain for something else a long time ago.
It's the nihilism. It brought back the nothing. Talk for a minute about the emotional arc that the alien robots went through. Thoughts?
They didn't like humans cutting up their own kind. But that was probably overshadowed by the justification of minor sex.
Holy shit. Holy shit, Michael Bay. Not only do you intentionally throw down a relationship with a minor, but then you justify it legally in Texas, and then throughout the arc of the film you make the father justify it. What the fuck's going on, Michael Bay?
But, you know, is it Michael Bay or is it Texas for calling such a thing the Romeo and Juliet law?
I don't give a fuck about... Okay, Texas can have whatever statute rape rules it wants. However, Michael Bay doesn't have to make a 3-hour shit movie about such relationships. let alone bring up those exact existing laws.
The relationship could have been between Marky Mark and the archaeologist.
Totally.
And left the daughter being a daughter.
There didn't even need to be a daughter.
Right.
Let alone, if you have a daughter, she could have been a freshman in college, perfectly not Statch.
Right.
Why make her 17 instead of 18?
Right.
Why have a sissy... God, the boyfriend was annoying. A, he was Irish, which could be way cool.
Right.
But they played down the Irish and, like, tried to take his accent from him as much as possible, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, his plot device is that he's a really good driver, which they exploit very well in the opening act, and then ignore every other time, and every other time he's driving, it's better for them every single time to actually not be driving.
You know, that kind of, him driving in the beginning kind of bothered me. Now, I know this is very, very much somebody's opinion, but I would think that a kid, especially one who's spending his money on his own car, the last thing he would do is buy an American-made sports car. He would buy a foreign-made sports car.
I kept expecting it to be Bumblebee and some fucked up
Yeah,
guy.
It's sitting over there. I expect it to be somebody ready to help.
And I swear to God, the first time he drove up, there wasn't a driver in it.
Yeah.
It was like waiting for shit to go down.
Really?
And then he takes a jump and hits people in the face with his tires. Cool move.
Yeah. And at that point, I still thought it could be a Transformer.
Yeah.
The Autobots were very, relatively speaking, murder hungry.
Yeah.
Very much so.
There was a high, aside from the main characters, there was a high mortality rate for anybody in the film.
This is something Charles and I talk about a lot. It's like in the comics, especially in G.I. Joe, if there's an air battle where one of the jets gets blown up or something,
you see the parachute.
You see the parachute thing. And I kept wanting to make a crack. I'm like, where's the parachutes, man? What's happening to these people? I want the parachute.
Well, I think this is the Top Gun effect, where it's in Top Gun, every single time a Russian plane is shot down, they blow up and they die because they're evil commies.
Uh-huh.
But in Top Gun, every time an ally is shot down, except for Goose, you see the parachute, they survive.
Right.
Yeah, the morality was weird. It kept shifting. Optimus is like, all right, Autobots are free. Let's get the fuck out. Oh, okay, we'll save humanity this one last time, then get the fuck out. But his journey to get to those different places was just like, seemed like he was flipping a fucking penny.
Felt like they were trying to say through the whole film that the Transformers were sentient beings, but I kind of feel like that was lost at the end, like, because they pushed the whole, we had a creator, we were created, kind of took all of that away, where in the comics, that's like a real proud thing. It's like, you know, carbon-based life evolved on Earth, mechanical life evolved on other planets.
What does God want?
With a starship.
With a flat-nosed
semi-truck.
Optimus needs his pain. It makes him who he is.
Yeah.
And several times when he transformed back into the pickup truck,
mm-hmm.
I was visually very fucking confused about where all the masks came from, because his robot form is fucking huge. You take the pickup truck and you make it stand on end and you pull some devices out of it,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get that big.
So as a child of the 80s, you remember Soundwave and Blaster, and these turned into small tape decks, but they turned into giant robots. How did you justify that in your head as a kid?
In the cartoon?
In the cartoon or the comics.
I don't care.
So the way this is described off is called mass shifting.
Oh.
Where
density.
So, like, you know, when you see an 80s figure, when you see a G1 figure, it kind of makes sense how it transforms. When you see a Bay thing transform, where the fuck? It makes no sense.
That's what I'm saying. And then B, I mean, I'm sure everyone's gone off this several times, is I never know what direction they're fucking facing. When one catapults himself into another, a Decepticon, and they're rolling around on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck is happening.
No, they're very confusing to look at.
Although I think Optimus was reduced this time. He seemed visually simpler. Like, he had blue shoulder pads. He had the windshields on his chest. So I think...
He did in the when he was flat-nosed. He didn't when he scanned, I didn't think.
When he became red.
Yeah, when he became red and blue again, it looked more like they were trying to make him look like a muscular person.
Ah. Well, he had a weird little skirt too, reminding me of kind of He-Man.
Did that happen after he grabbed the sword and
yeah.
acknowledged
his I'm not sure exactly the point in the film that it happened.
Yeah.
But Yeah, he had...
That was a long scene, too, on fucking... on the starship. That yeah. took
I kept forever. Waiting for the, you know, the humans who have scientific knowledge to be the mice in the machine and to fuck it up from the inside.
Yeah.
But they really just ran and escaped, and it was kind of boring.
And the little rover robots with the eyes? That wasn't necessary.
No! I wanted the junk bots. What are they called?
The Junkions.
The Junkions?
Junkions.
Yeah.
Dare to be stupid. You started singing
that song. I fucking wanted Dare to be stupid to happen. Yeah. How badass would that be if she just, like, runs some wires on the garbage robots and fucking takes over the ship with the garbage robots?
Right.
That would have been a fucking awesome movie. Fuck you, Michael Bay. Fuck you and your fucking fuck. Because I want my junk bots. Those were my favorite. Turn into a motorcycle. Talk really fast.
Spike tires.
Turn into a music video for Weird Al. Yeah. God fucking damn it, that would be beautiful.
Let's show how not to do that with Bumblebee, because that's all Bumblebee does, is talk
radio.
Radio. Yeah. Yeah. And did you say you like the black Bumblebee better?
The car.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck yeah. When he upgrades to the new car, I was like, that looks stupid. The stingers, side view mirrors look fucking retarded.
I think what would have helped, too, is, like, when they're in the robot mode, or fucking even in their alt mode, make the Autobot or Decepticon logo visible.
Which
make it so we
finally
can see.
Did at the end on Optimus.
Yes, but like, I don't even think Galvatron and his minions are even a faction anymore. You know, they're self-created, self-aware. I don't even think they classify as Decepticons.
No, aside from their hatred of
There's
Optimus.
Just so much going on in this film, I don't know. I mean, I can't. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts my brain hole.
I did see a lot of stupid shit where Bumblebee would be driving humans, get into a crash, he'd eject the humans, a robot would catch the humans, throw the humans in the air as they're peering through the air going 80, 90 miles an hour, throw them in the air, Bumblebee would smash into something, and then magically catch them and land and instantly stop.
That happened more than once.
That happened like 8 times, and there were no broken necks, and I was disappointed.
Right. Or at least in X-Men, he held his neck. He's like, so I don't snap your neck. Whiplash. Yeah, you know, I was thinking that too, like, where Optimus and Galvatron meet for the first time on the freeway and the Rosie Huntington Wheatley's on the ground. Like, make her walk with a limp at least, you know, show some realism.
Yeah, she was fucking ejected from the car going 80
and sliding on the concrete, yeah,
for a half mile, man. And then she's just like, I don't know if I run away to the right or to the left, so I'm just going to get in this SUV.
Just
going
to stay in the middle of the battle. Safer here.
I'm going to hide behind Optimus. The women should have done more.
I agree with that.
Aren't there supposed to be lady Autobots?
You're starting a whole online argument with that. And unfortunately, I can't give people your direct Twitter handle to release that rage.
Because the only thing that could have made this movie even more silly would have been robot boobs.
I still think when, after Galvatron, or fucking Optimus Prime re-scanned himself, he looked like a booby muscular guy. I don't like the actual faces on these guys either. That's not Transformer-y to me. Transformer-y.
Yeah.
And Transformanium.
Unobtainium.
Transformanium. Seriously? Transformium.
Transformium.
Yeah. That was a fuck, I'm ready to walk out moment right there. We found this rare earth metal, Transformium. Are you fucking kidding me?
It needs the seed.
Christ.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. For me, possibly the best journey the film captures is for Bumblebee. His character starts out disrespected by all the Autobots, and not even cared about by the humans in this film, as opposed to the other films. And by the end of the film, he is respected by the humans, Autobots, and even has an effect on the final outcome of the final battle. Much similar to, say, a Hot Rod. However, better than Hot Rod, because I think Hot Rod's kind of a prick. So the movie successes were that I did see it, I could hear it, and I did pay for it. Thoughts?
You did all of those things. People were excited, and you were looking forward to seeing Grimlock, but there were people in the theater that were, the kids, I should say, were excited to see Grimlock. And they'd just be like, we're these awesome Autobots. Go be free. You know, fucking never see you again.
Let's trash 50 Decepticons and then walk away into the forest. The end.
The end.
And yet occupy the majority of all advertisements for the film, occupying a significantly small portion of the film itself.
Yeah. So do you have a desire to buy any Transformer toys now?
I do not. Better or worse than the G.I. Joe films?
You know, fuck. Now, would you say that the relationship between Lucky Charm and Rosie Huntington Wheatley in this film was a better love story than Twilight?
Oh, fuck me. Having seen none of the Twilight films, and only bearing hatred for all things sparkly, I would compare their borderline statutory relationship to a retarded vampire-human baby hybrid that I think Twilight ends with.
Fair enough.
Is that an opinion?
I guess. it's an insulting on both of them, actually.
So I'd say about the same? Fuck. Edward is more useful. The vampire is a more useful fucking boyfriend than douchey McDouche driver, McGee. So there's that. Although, she, in this film, is more useful than
Shia LaBeouf in any of the previous films.
Shia LaBeouf chased a drunk man around New York, and if he's not going to do it, I probably would have had to for him. Who else is going to harass the strippers if it's not Shia LaBeouf?
Right.
The spaceships were cool.
No. No, I don't think so. I don't even know where the samurai Transformer guy came from. I don't remember him in the third film. He's there.
He's new.
I don't remember Hound in any of the previous films. He's just there. Or Crosshairs.
Yeah, I think Bumblebee and then the other Transformers that they actually killed in Optimus are the other Transformers that we've seen before.
You know, and the guy that voices Optimus Prime is the same guy from the cartoon in the 80s. And that guy's getting older. He's going to retire eventually. And I hate that in the Transformers universe, this might be the note he goes out on. It's such a letdown and a disappointment.
Didn't he do voice work for G.I. Joe and He-Man too?
I'm not sure if he did it for G.I. Joe. He did it for He-Man. He did it for GoBots.
Okay.
I imagine he had something to do with Thundercats. He did. There was a bunch of robot cartoons that didn't really last very long, but was in the whole Sunbow umbrella that he had parts in. He was a character in Voltron, or at least I think he was the voiceover in Voltron.
Hell yeah. Voltron for life. I will give this to the film. It makes my life look interesting. Someone who pays, you know, what do we pay, like $12 for a film?
Yeah.
That $12 could be, you know, put into an algorithm to say represents a half an hour of my working day life spent doing a tedious job that I don't necessarily enjoy on the every single minute of. I think my job is more entertaining, and that I thank Michael Bay for.
For making you realize this?
For proving that my life is better than explosions. Thank you, Michael Bay. Feel like we went all the way with Michael Bay today. Michael Bay is inside of us. He put the seed in here. I'm pointing at my head. He put it in here. I'm pointing at my temple repeatedly. And they killed the clown. Holy fuck, I almost forgot about that.
They killed the clown?
They killed the clown.
Oh, yeah.
The funniest thing about the movie, they dropped a bomb on and killed. which I think turned him into Transformium.
So he's now the most valuable.
Which means he's probably a fucking Decepticon right now. He could be Megatron.
Dude.
Maybe they should work at that. His DNA of funny is now inside of Megatron. Or shit, he could be Starscream. That would be rad.
That would be rad. Like, at the end, Marky Mark and Rosie Huntington are like, but we don't have a house. Like, that's the saddest thing that happened to him. Not that her uncle got killed in the first act.
Her uncle that they owed money to was killed. And they're just like, haha, we lost our house too. But now we're millionaires. Because a millionaire is nice to us. Who we were kind of a dick to. Who was kind of a dick to the world. Who carried a bomb around trying to save everyone. Just trying to get all the facts straight.
Right.
So that we can judge him.
Well, wait. This movie was about facts? There were facts in this film?
If we're gonna judge him, whether or not he's a villain or a hero, we have to get all the facts together. Pro or antagonist? It just bugs me when clowns are killed, because if you kill the clown, then you've made it a tragedy, which they did in Act 1.
Yeah.
And it's not a tragedy in Act 2 or 3.
You know, that's what happened there in Act 3 when the Steve Jobs character his personality changed. It was almost like they were trying to make him the comic relief.
Yeah. Like, what's his face from Transformers 1 who ran this stupid Transformer secret agency?
Oh, yeah.
Who actually managed to be a shadow figure who was not scary.
The nightcap, if you will.
The nightcap, yes.
They could make a true G1 live-action film that would cost just as much money, that would sell just as many seats, and would sell just as many action figures. Why do they need to go through and reinvent the wheel?
Because giving it to Michael Bay makes it an independent product that will make money. Doesn't matter if it's good or not. If it's a Michael Bay, it usually makes money. Oh, there is an awkward film moment in this film that I want to be sure to bring up. The almost tentacle hentai porn scene with the underage girl. Thoughts, Yoshi?
I never even looked at it that way. Because I look at so much hentai tentacle porn on my own. Seemed natural.
There was an upside down green alien in a cage that sticks its tongue out and wraps it around the underage girl's leg and bondages her for a second, throws her on the ground, and then it cuts away. Something else happens on the spaceship, and then it cuts back, and then she has a knife in her hand, and she cuts herself free.
So you're saying she didn't like the experience?
I'm saying she got the seed.
God. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for picking up our transmission. Give us feedback on our website at www.transmissionspodcast.com, where you can find all of our contact info on social media and links to all of our show notes discussed in each episode. You can also email us directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com.